Like quite a few of you, I spent a few years in the UK. Started off on a gap year working holiday visa and then extended that a little bit. And like many South Africans that go there, one often hears how we find it a bit depressing, especially the winter months over there. And when you come to October or so on, when the summer starts to break through, you see a lot of the local Englishmen and women sort of crouching down, cowering and looking up at the sky, saying things like, "What is that strange golden orb in the sky? You know, is it true we are not alone? Something's coming to attack us." Or, you know, people are not used to the sun out there, where we're super blessed here in the Southern Hemisphere with many days in sunshine. And there's definitely more than one reason that people can state for being a little depressed in the UK, and the absence of sunlight surely is one. I mean, they say that, and I found this to be true, for many of the months in the year, you leave home in the dark and you head underground, if you're now in London, that is, to go off to work. And by the time you step outside of the office, it's dark again, and you head back underground and mull your way back home. And living in perpetual darkness like that is a bit depressing. But I found another reason, and that is it really is a concrete jungle. Buildings all around you, you know, just the clusters of homes everywhere, joined to each other, very little open space as well. When you look out the window, you look in, you know, straight into your neighbor's building and or his home, and you know, sometimes there isn't even a gap between homes like that. And I found that to be quite a joy killer for myself. Also in the city, it's just all the high-rise buildings, and you can't see far. And that's such a blessing of being out here in France, is that we can actually see vast distances without some concrete structure standing between us and the landscape. It's really beautiful. And I think there's something to that, to being able to see far. And I think there's a spiritual connotation there as well. We're going to get to the applicable scripture in a minute. But Helen Keller, you know, she contracted a serious illness as a baby at 19 months, and then she became deaf and blind. And she's quite well known as a political activist, and she was the first deaf-blind person to graduate with a BA degree. But very well known, and she said made a lot of powerful statements as well. But one that she said, which is appropriate for this morning, "The only thing worse than being blind is having having sight but no vision." Okay, this morning we're talking a little bit about vision, about looking ahead and the importance thereof for our lives. Some of you might have heard of George Washington Carver. He was born into slavery in the 1800s in the US, and he was an inventor. He had this just an amazing visionary. So he came up with a lot of inventions, and he was a botanist as well, and came up with all different alternative crops to cotton and so on, which was partially destroying the land and everything. And he became very well known. Time magazine in 1940 said that he was the Black Leonardo, just for this amazing inventiveness that he had. And so he says as well, "Where there is no vision, there is no hope." Okay, so now we've heard from two people, and we can see there might be something to this. It's something important that we're talking about here this morning. And I can say that not every quote that you're going to see on the internet or elsewhere, or that you hear people banding about, is necessarily true or helpful. So we need to make sure that we get to the bottom of it. If it's in the Bible, you can run with it. And I must say, these tie in quite nicely with another great man that had a lot of good quotes that we live by, and that's Solomon in Proverbs 29. He writes, "Where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there is no vision, the people perish." A few weeks ago, spoke a little bit about, you know, the goals that you're setting for this year. We looked at the book of Nehemiah, took some truths out of there for us for the year, some tips for the year, and speaking specifically about also how important it is to make sure that the natural is in order. First the natural, then the supernatural. First the natural, then the spiritual. Okay, someone else said, everything about you says something about you, but it's important that, you know, we understand that God will first see what we do with the basics that he has given us in our hands before he entrusts us with more. If you look at the parable of the talents, are we faithful with the little, then he will make you rule over much. Okay, first the natural, then the spiritual. So we're talking about goals and having goals for this year, you know, both in the natural, but then also spiritual goals of growth that we need to grow in this year. That you want to look back at the end of the year and be able to say, well, I grew in this and this area this year. And that's going to be maybe a difficult assessment to make if at the start of the year you didn't actually set specific goals for yourself. You're probably not likely to assess yourself at the end of the year if you haven't set goals to aim at. And why this is important is that the quote I mentioned of Zig Ziglar, if you aim at nothing, you're going to hit it. Okay, so it's important to set goals. All the successful businesses around the world do that, and you can certainly apply it to your personal life and even your spiritual growth as well. But this morning, I just want to go beyond that and speak a bit about vision. Okay, vision looks further ahead than your annual goals. I want to ask you this morning, and I'll ask you at the end of the message again, do you have a vision for your life? What would you say your life is all about? What do you want people to say about your life at the end of it? If you assess your life at the end of your life and look back, what do you want to stand out? What do you want to see that it's all about? You know, many people would challenge you and say, but what do you want your epitaph to be? What do you want written on your tombstone one day? And then we got to start aiming at that, because I think oftentimes we'll see that we're a bit off course if that is what we want said about us, if that is the legacy that we want to leave behind. If we look at a couple of biblical examples, you look at Joshua in chapter 24, and he admonishes the Israelites and says, choose today which God you want to serve. But as for me and my household, we shall serve the Lord. They were in foreign land amongst the Ammonites, and there were other gods being worshipped. And God's people were being led astray. And then he challenged them and said, who do you want to serve? You better choose. Because if you just carry on like this, you're going to drift. You very easily become what you associate yourself with, what you surround yourself with. You gravitate towards that which you surround yourself with. And if you find yourself in ungodly territory, then very soon you'll take on some of those attributes. You need to choose what you want to do. All of us find ourselves in ungodly territory at times. We need to guard our hearts. We need to fill our heads and our hearts with the Word of God, which acts as a compass. We need to choose for ourselves who we will serve. Do you have a vision? Joshua had a vision. Paul received a vision from the Lord. He was called to preach to the Gentiles. And the word vision can mean a couple of different things. Obviously, firstly, it can mean literal sight. Then it can also mean having a plan or directive for the road ahead, and also can pertain to a revelation that you receive. So this morning I'm talking about that point 2 and 3 of that definition. Having a plan for the road ahead and tying that in also with revelation from God. Because it's not just about having a vision, it's about having a godly vision for your life. I was up on the pass last night and spent some time up there, and looking down at the valley, a couple of things that I saw. Tell you about the second one just now, but firstly, there was a house that would be about the third house, the third highest house on the pass that is currently being built. It's almost at roof height now. It looks like an impressive dwelling from up there. as anything is with a view, it's probably going to be big. And I just thought to myself, you know, there's someone having that house built. Okay, there's an architect involved, there are plans, there's a builder involved, and I can see the manifestation of that with the bricks that were stacked in a certain fashion on top of one another. Imagine for a second, the architect never communicated with the builder. The bricks arrive, you know, on the plot, and the builder starts building. But he never got the plans from the architect. What are the chances that when that house is finished, that it will look anything like what the architect's drawings depict? If the builder never saw those plans, what are the chances that it would look exactly like what the architect had in mind? Okay, I can tell you zero. Because even when the builder receives the architect's plans, oftentimes it doesn't look like the architect's plans. Okay, so it's important that we understand in life that God is the architect here, and we're setting about building our lives. But it's important that we understand it should be in cooperation with Him, that we need the master plan for our lives from the Lord. No guesses as to how you receive that plan from the Lord. Okay, we need to spend time with Him. We need to ask Him. We need to receive a vision for our lives from God, so that at the end of our lives, when we look back, we can say as well, I live my life according to God's plan for my life. That is all important. There's a saying that goes, life is short and will soon be past. Only that which is done for Christ will last. That is what will echo for eternity. See, God has got a master plan, not only for our lives individually, but for all of mankind. And Jesus stands at the center of that plan. And our lives all form part of that puzzle, if you want to think of it as a puzzle. You want to make sure that your life fits into that puzzle, because each of our lives individually form part of that. God has a plan. So He's building a house. He's the master builder. And how many of you know that if you're building a house and the builder doesn't pitch up or he stops halfway, that you're going to find someone else to continue? In the same way, God has a plan for each of our lives. But if we don't want anything to do with that plan, or if we get sidetracked, we say, no thanks, not anymore, I'm done with this, God will transfer that to someone else and someone else will continue the work. But you don't want that to happen. You want to finish the call of God on your life so that you can look back on your life and say, I was, or have God say to you, good and faithful servant. You were faithful with that which I gave you. You did it according to how I wanted you to do that. And obviously none of us are perfect. God's plan for us perfect. None of us are perfect. But God will lead us and guide us by His Spirit. And when we fall, when we fail, then we come back to God. Say, Lord, forgive me, I missed it there. I missed it with that person, or I missed it for the last 5 years or 10 years. Thank you, Lord. You are the God of the second chance. I was a prodigal in that regard. Thank you, Lord, that you invite me back. You can get me back on track. The Bible is full of examples. God only uses people who fail because there are no other kind of people. And He knows that. He's not intimidated by our failures because He can fix it. God can do anything. Without God, there are many impossibilities. In fact, we cannot do anything without it. But with God, all things are possible. So I want to encourage you again. Seek God. We've got an amazing opportunity in the next 3 days to pray together as a church family, as we pray and fast, as we seek Him for this year, as we commit our lives to Him again, we commit the year to Him as a church. There's room and time to pray over the vision of the church and over the vision that God is placing on your heart, and to seek Him for that. So I want to encourage you to press in. you can afford to make big plans because we serve a big God. So go for it. Use the opportunity. Jesus didn't come without a plan. We know that. And he stated his plan when he stood up after he got baptized and went through the desert being tempted by the devil, and he came back into Jerusalem and stood up in the synagogue. Then he laid out his vision statement for all to hear, which was prophesied in Isaiah 61. So we read about that in Luke chapter 4, where he said, "For he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the sick, to give sight to the blind, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." See, Jesus knew what his mission was from the beginning. And he told that at the start of his ministry. Up to that point, he didn't perform one miracle. Even though he was tempted to, he didn't. After that point, he fulfilled that word. He had a plan. He had a vision statement, like a company that starts, that's got a business plan, a vision statement. We don't plan to fail, we fail to plan. So when a company starts, you often see it's got a vision statement, and then business opens, and hopefully they fulfill that plan and that mission. Jesus, before the start of his ministry, he laid out his vision statement. Then he gave one to us as well when he left. He said, "Now you continue the work. But don't worry, I'm going to send you a helper." Because God's vision, his corporate vision for the church, is bigger than any of us can handle. But he has given us a plan. So the church around the world exists for its non-members. We are here primarily for the people that aren't here today. Because we're okay. If the Lord comes back now, we're okay. At least I hope all of us are okay, that we're going to go and be with them. But there's many out there that we can say virtually for certain, if the Lord had to come back right now and not intervene in the meantime in their lives, that most likely they will not be okay. We are here. The church is God's vehicle in the world today to proclaim the gospel, to share the love of God with people. So the church will be around as long as its vision and mission is still there to be completed. So the church is here until Jesus comes back. The church is here until everyone comes to worship our God with us. The church's vision statement can be summed up in Matthew 28 as well. The next slide. You know the Great Commission. If you can move on to the next slide there, Lisa. That's basically, as part of the body of Christ, Shofar Church, we've kind of just reworded pretty much the Great Commission out there. You all know the Great Commission. You can say it differently as well. 1 Timothy 2 says it quite nicely and succinctly as well, in that God desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. That's God's vision. That's what God wants. That's on his heart. Is that everyone come to heaven one day to be with him. He created all of us to be his children. The Father wants his children with him. God wants everyone to be saved. And he wants everyone to know him for who he really is. There's a lot of people in the world today that don't believe in God. They think they know who God is, and they're not interested. They don't believe in Jesus. There's a lot of false perceptions about who God is. As a church, we got to help with that. We got to help people come to know who God really is. We can show them by the love that he's poured out in our hearts. God has given us so much love through the Holy Spirit. We have access to that pure, undiluted love of God more than what we could ever contain, that we can share that with the people around us. This is God's heart for us. So it's to go out to share the love of God. So how we word it, our vision statement, we shared it about 6 months ago. I had it up here. Just to quickly mention again, most of you know that to reach nations and generations. That is, in other words, everyone. God wants all men to be saved. Go out to make disciples of all the nations, okay? That's what that's saying. So we've got to go out to everyone. John 3:16 says the whosoever. So we are here for the whosoever. We're here for everyone. Nations and generations. No matter what the color of your skin, no matter how old or young, we're here for everyone. Okay? To make disciples, in other words, to teach them about Jesus. You saw that in the Great Commission. You saw that in 1 Timothy 2. Come to the knowledge of the truth. And then also to raise up leaders and plant churches. That's a natural outflowing of discipleship. A disciple, by definition, makes disciples. Okay, so there's a ripple effect there. Okay, so a disciple will raise up leaders. And basically, we know what a church is. We plant churches. A church is just a gathering of believers. And this is a command of the Lord that we gather together. So we want to see churches planted all over the world, all different churches, for as long as they're serving Jesus Christ. And we support many other denominations and churches. We are here for the kingdom of God and for the body of Christ. We can hardly plant shofar churches in every country in the world. But together, and that's why we've got lots of network churches and partner churches. When we go on missions, we support churches in those countries before we try and reinvent the wheel or do our own thing. So we are in it for the kingdom, but we want to see churches planted. And if someone else isn't going to do it, then we're going to do it. A disciple will become a leader, will raise up more disciples and leaders. And a leader is someone that can take a person from where they are to where God wants him to be. And right there is a recipe for a church. Okay, so that's why we are a movement that sends out a lot of leaders to start new faith families and groups wherever they go, and also strategically in different places as the Lord shows us. So that's who we are as a church, especially for the visitors here, so that you also know that's what drives us. What we are passionate about is to see Jesus worshipped all over the world, and we love to see people coming together and worshipping our Lord. So we're about planting churches, and I want to encourage you as well that you pray about that in the coming year. It's not a coincidence that you're in this church. If this is the church where you feel God has placed you and has led you to be, then this is the vision that God wants you to follow as well. So really pray into that and ask God, how exactly do I form part of this? What is my role? What role can I fulfill at this current time? And I can see, Lord, that we all encourage you to grow and to come into our full potential as children of God, whatever that might entail, whatever form of leadership or support or whatever it might be. But it's very exciting time. So we've got the next 3 days that we're going to pray into that. So sorry if you're visiting here, just a little bit of church admin, and you're welcome to join us as well. We're going to be praying together. And tomorrow night we've got a leaders meeting at 7 o'clock. But if you want to join me to pray afterwards from 8 o'clock, just be praying into the vision and as the Lord leads us. So if anyone wants to join for that from 8 o'clock tomorrow night, and then 7 o'clock Tuesday night, also be here if anyone wants to join and pray. And then 7 o'clock on Wednesday evening, all our small groups will be coming together and bring some food to share along. It's going to be great. We had an awesome time in July as we did this last year as well, and really looking forward to that. So as Vian mentioned, fast as you purpose in your heart. Fasting implies sacrificing some part of your diet, food, but the focus is not away from food. The focus is towards God. If you're not praying while you're fasting, you're just starving yourself. So don't bother with that. But if it's the first time that you would like to fast, you might consider fasting maybe one meal a day for the next 3 days, or maybe a, you know, you want to fast meat, or you want to fast you know, coffees and such. It's up to you. But the Lord says that we should do things cheerfully, and we should do it as we purpose in our hearts. So I want to encourage you to decide before the time how you're going to fast, because a lot of people decide, yeah, I'm going to go for it, and then they bail out halfway through, and then they struggle with feelings of guilt and whatever, and it's not about that. No one's going to check up on you, you know, say, ah, what did you eat? Let me smell your breath. Nothing like that, okay? So, but it really is a blessed time. God always wants to speak to us, and in these kind of times and moments, He really is faithful to speak to us. If you seek Him, you will find Him. And that is a really practical way in which we can really lay sort of all the distractions aside and say, Lord, you know, I'm really consecrating myself, focusing on You for these next few days. Please speak to me. And then use those times that you would have eaten, use those times to pray. Take your lunch hour at work and go and sit outside and pray somewhere quiet and seek God. Write down what He's saying to you and come share with us in the evening, or send an email if you can't make it. We'd love to hear what God is saying to the body in this time. Okay, so go for it. You know, last week was a very tough week. You might have seen in the papers that a young cyclist died in Milnerton. He was actually a friend of mine as well. And, you know, tomorrow is his memorial service in Blauberg. But it just reminded me again how short life is. You know, it's life is like the author writes in Ecclesiastes, like that mist that disappears before the sun. You know, before you realize that it is up, it is over. And he was a really good man, and he loved the Lord, and he loved his family, and he lived life to the max. And so it's such a comfort for his parents as well and his wife to know that he is with the Lord. That instant that he got hit by a truck and he died instantly, that instant he was with the Lord. 7:09, Tuesday night last week, he was with the Lord. Just seconds before that, he was just loving life on his bicycle. And I'm just encouraged also just by that knowledge, you know, and just the testimony there to live life every day, to live life to the max, and to stay in love with Jesus and to love my family. This is important. We need to get our priorities right this year if they're not right. So I want to encourage you, as you seek the Lord, to really find out what's on His heart, His priorities for you. Keep the main thing the main thing. Don't major on the minors. Put God first, then your family, then your church and work, and the rest of it. Okay, these are very good biblical priorities to have. All right, so I want to pray for us this morning. And I want to ask God that God would just continue to journey with us as we seek Him, and that He would indeed reveal to us, that He will give you revelation as you seek Him. If you knock, it will be open for you. If you seek, you will find. We need to spend some time focusing on the Lord. If we haven't yet, as we encouraged a few weeks ago, start of the year, well, newsflash, it's not the start of the year anymore. We're almost into February now. And we need to make sure that we get our things in order. A divine order can reign in our lives, that we keep God first, that He has preeminence in all things in our lives. So let us pray, let us ask God for favor and just a blessing over the next few days as we seek Him. I want to encourage you, if you're just visiting here, even if you don't come back again, maybe you're just passing through town, but really to seek God for vision for your life. I trust God that after these next 3 days, not only will our vision as a church and corporately be galvanized, but that each one of us would have an idea of God's vision for our lives personally. May it be a really blessed time. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for the privilege, Lord God, the great joy and satisfaction, Lord, the ultimate fulfillment of knowing you, of knowing, Lord, that we have a Heavenly Father who's perfect in all his ways, who's unconditionally loving toward us, who's abundant to forgive and pardon us. Thank you, God, that we can recommit our lives and us as a church family to you, Lord, over these next few days as we seek you through praying and fasting. Lord, we ask that you will indeed minister to us, that you'll strengthen us. Your word says that we do not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds from your mouth. We declare even as we sacrifice meals and our food, Lord God, we boldly declare that you are more important to us than our food, Lord. Lord, we ask that you will speak to us, that you'll grant each one here, each one in this congregation, just to envision them for their lives, Lord, to bless them with direction. Lord, if they haven't yet got one, that you'll show them, Lord, why you created them, what your plan is for our lives, Lord. Lord, we want to build our lives according to your master plan. We want to form part of your greater plan for mankind. We don't want to be off on a tangent doing our own thing, building our own kingdoms. We want to be building your kingdom, Lord. We declare this morning, Lord, that it's all about you. You are the most important. Thank you, Lord God, that prayer is powerful. Jesus, you said that my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. Thank you, Lord, that we can pray into the vision that you have granted us as a congregation. And we thank you for that vision. And Lord, it's more than what we can manage. Lord, we need you every step of the way. We don't just want to be another church. We are not here to make up the numbers or to start a new denomination, Lord. We want to see your kingdom come. We want to do and busy ourselves with that which is on your heart, that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Lord, we ask that you will help us to live out the vision that you have given us. We need your strength and your help every day. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you were sent to continue with the work that Jesus began, and that you have chosen us as your agents to work through. God, be magnified through our lives. We want our lives to count. Lord, build your church. Build this church, Lord, and build your kingdom in our lives. Wherever we are, wherever we go, with whomever we relate, Lord, let the testimony of Jesus Christ emanate forth from us. You can just keep your heads bowed, please. And before one gets to vision, one first needs to come to Jesus. If you are not currently in relationship with Jesus, maybe you have been before, but you've strayed off that path. You know you're doing your own thing. You're your own boss. You're not submitted to God. Or maybe you've never made a decision for Jesus to receive him as your Lord and Savior. It's only through the blood of Jesus Christ, believing in what he did for us at the cross and that he rose again, that you can be saved. And that starts with a confession from your mouth and that belief in your heart. If that is you this morning, I'd love to pray with you. I'm not going to call you forward now, but while every eye is closed, just raise your hands if you want to receive Jesus Christ or you want to recommit to him this morning. Just raise your hand high so I can know if there's anyone like that here. Thank you for that hand. Lord, I just want to thank you for your faithfulness, and I just ask that you continue, just, Lord, just to work in that heart. I just want to ask you who raised your hand, and there will be other people for other reasons joining us at the front, but if you can just come to me after the service, I want to pray with you. These are sacred moments, and that's the most important decision you can make in your life. Please don't leave here without having prayed that through. Please come and pray with me afterwards. And then there's another group of people I want to pray for. And that is that if this morning you realize, but you're probably quite far from God's plan for your life. In fact, you wouldn't be able to tell me what the start is of that plan. What that house would look like when it's finished being built. And I want to pray especially for you this morning that the Lord will just reveal that God-given purpose that He created you for. The Word says that you were predestined. You were foreknown by God. He has prepared good works for you that you should walk in before time even began. Do you know what those works are? It's not about doing something for God to earn your way into heaven one day. The only way we come to heaven is through faith in Jesus. But faith without works is dead. There's when you believe in Jesus, when you love Jesus, a natural outflow of that, a natural expression of that is you serve the Lord in some way. You come onto His plan for your life and you fulfill that role. The Lord has a purpose for you. Someone without a purpose, Thomas Carlyle said that a man without a purpose is like a waif, a nothing, a no man. Now, we don't want that said about us. We want to live purpose-driven lives. You want to get up in the morning for a reason. Life is too short to live it aimlessly. I saw a vision, just bear with me for a second. I saw a vision as I was up on the mountain as well, just of this valley. And I basically saw an arrow, just all the people in this valley forming this arrow. And this church, you and me were actually at the tip of that arrow. God has a very clear and defined purpose for us corporately as well. Each one here has a purpose. If you don't think you've got some purpose from the Lord, be encouraged and know that you do. God has got an amazing and a significant plan for your life. And you form part here of a significant and amazing faith family, which again forms part of the wider church of Jesus Christ. But this church has a very powerful redemptive purpose in this valley. And sometimes we go through some tough things as a church because there's a lot of pioneering work involved. Kind of got to break ground. And maybe that's what you experience in your life as well. Then I can tell you, if you experience your life as tough and following the Lord as tough, well, you're in the right place. Because life is tough, but our God is good, and we're here to encourage one another, and God is here to help us. And that sense of significance that all of us yearn for can only be experienced in following God's plan for our lives. I want to encourage you. You have a God-given purpose. If you don't know what that is this morning, because some here do, but if you don't know what that is, I want to pray for you as well. So you don't have to look around, but just raise your hand. Just want to get an idea. If there's anyone like that, you want to know what God's plan is for your life. You want to know what's on God's heart for you, your God-given purpose. Thank you. Father, I just want to thank you that you do have a plan for each of us. that we are predestined to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Thank you, God, that you are faithful to complete the work that you have started in us. Thank you, Lord God. This morning we are not talking about striving. We are not talking about doing things in our own strength. We're talking about yoking with you, a place where you do the hard work, but we are on the same page. We are yoked with you. We're coming alongside you. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your faithfulness to help us every step of the way. You are the paraclete, the one who comes alongside us to help us. I ask, Lord, that you'll help each one in this year, as we commit ourselves again for this year, that you'll help each one to fulfill that which is on your heart for us in this year. And Lord, especially for those that don't know, as they sit here this morning, what their God-given mandate is in life, that you'll reveal that to them. Even in these next 3 days, I ask, Lord, that you'll give them vision, that you'll minister to them, even in their dreams, Lord. As they seek you, Lord, I declare in accordance with your word that they will find you. That which they hear, that which they sense in their hearts, Lord, that it be from you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we can always check what you are saying, comparing that to your word, Lord God. You will never say anything outside of the boundaries of your word. Thank you, Lord, that we don't have to be confused about the vision and your plan for our lives. You are not the author of confusion. But you want us to know the plans that you have for us. You say that in your word, Lord, that you know the plans that you have for us. Plans to prosper us and not to harm us, to give us a future and a hope. Without vision, we have no hope. Without vision, we will perish. I pray, God, that we would not be a people who are without vision, but that we'd live according to the vision that you have for us. I bless each one here under the sound of my voice, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that we can go forth as an arrow created for a purpose to hit the target, the bull's eye. And I pray, Lord God, that we will not miss, but that we'll accomplish that which you have sent forth. Thank you, Lord, that you watch over your word, that you are ready to perform it. Please come and perform it in our lives. In the name of Jesus, amen.